The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Growing up in the U.S. is like being submerged into a melting pot filled with so many beautiful cultures. And within those cultures come the hardships. In Identity Crisis, sit down with me to understand the true meaning and experience of growing up in the U.S., constantly being torn between the American and Arab cultures. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Identity Crisis. I am your host, DJ Suzuki, and I really wanted to thank you guys for making it to episode 3 with me. This has been a journey, and, you know, I'm really excited to film my episodes every week because this is something I'm starting to really like. But yeah, let's get into it. So today I am going to talk about boys versus girls and the cultural expectations. So last week we talked about religion and culture and kind of how it really plays a large role with an identity crisis. But today I kind of just want to break down the nitty gritty of what exactly the boys and the girls are expected to do in the culture. So I don't know how many of you can relate to this, but has there ever been a time where you could say you're, you know, for my girls out there, where you guys had a big family gathering and, you know, all the dads and uncles and whatever went and sat down and watched TV or watched a sport or talked about politics or something like that, and the women started to clean up or serve dessert or serve some type of tea or coffee? Yeah, that's like pretty similar to that's basically a day in our lives. But yeah, just to kick it off, that's what boys versus girls cultural expectations is like. So I could speak for the girls. I could just tell you kind of how I grew up and what the typical cultural expectations can be as an Arab American. And you know how I mentioned in first episode about living in Little Palestine, it really does come full circle. So, for as long as I can remember, women have always been the nurturers, the ones who raise the kids, the ones who stay home. They don't really work much. They do the duties of the home. And with those duties come the responsibilities of being the host and being the cook and being all of the motherly duties, which there's nothing wrong with. I mean, I personally feel like women and men equally have things that they are better at naturally, but I just want to speak in terms of what is expected. So for as long as I can remember, and of course, being from the place that I am in Palestine, which is very conservative, I always felt like the girl expectations were like on steroids, in my opinion. So it was like 10 times more than what it actually was. For instance, you know, girl expectation is that, say you are at a dinner party and it's going to be time to eat, you know, usually the women are the ones in the kitchens and they're serving the table, and then the men come up and eat, and then they get up. They are the ones who go and they continue their conversations over tea or over coffee on the couch. Now, that was something I saw a lot growing up, even here in the Bay Area. And that was really with a lot of the moms that were friends with my mom. But thankfully, you know, the generations are changing. And I will be very honest, I was raised with four brothers, and my dad has trained, or not even trained, but he has gotten my brothers so used to helping around that thankfully that's not the dynamic in our house. I feel like it's very common in different cultures as to how women and men differentiate from each other. But I feel like there are different aspects where sometimes it can be a little more extreme than the other, depending on the culture. I really wanted to touch on career choices when it came to cultural expectations, career choices, and just lifestyle choices. And the reason why I want to talk about this is because something so recent, you know, happened to me. It was a conversation between me and my mother, which kind of triggered me in a way, but I feel like it really allowed me to reflect and just understand that my mom does come from a completely different generation. And, you know, I have to accept what she was raised with. And this also does tie into culture and religion and what the religion says about where a man should stand in a life and where a woman should stand in a life. But yeah, here we go. So I am graduating my bachelor's degree this May, and I personally see myself as a very strong, independent woman. And of course, being raised in my family, I'm not surprised that that's how I turned out. But I was having a conversation with my mom, and I recently decided that I do want to pursue a master's degree after my bachelor's degree. And I personally, this is just something personal. I always have felt like I was a lot more shortcoming with myself, and I never really put my biggest foot forward until I got to college. I felt like I was always the one who was not behind, but just not doing the extra stuff when I was in high school. And, you know, it wasn't really until I got to like college or Dominican to my JC, or specifically even until I got to Dominican, where I felt like I was actually doing really well. And thankfully, I am on the track to getting straight A's for the past four semesters. So it made me really think about the fact that how easy it is to just put your mind to something and just pursue it. And it's really not rocket science. It's like you work hard, you get what you want. So with that said, I was talking to my mom about how I am going to pursue my master's degree, hopefully. And, you know, we were talking about the field that I want to pursue it in. And she said her two words. She's like, yeah, that's good, all that. And make sure, you know, you look for someone who's still a little bit higher than you. And I paused and I looked at her and I was like, my head kind of tilted. And I was like, Mom, I'm your only daughter. And I'm telling you, I want to pursue a higher education. And the first thing you tell me, or the first thing you refer back to, is marriage. And that kind of just really got to me. Because, you know, it took so much for me to build the guts to step up to the plate and really commit myself to, hey, I'm going to get my master's degree and I'm going to do something that no one in my family has done. No one in my immediate family has done that. So, you know, I understand where her intentions were, that she wants to make sure that I'm secured, and she wants to make sure that no matter what, I have a spouse who will be able to take care of me, and that a man will be able to lead me and help me in my life, and I'll be able to build this partnership. But it was a little skewed in the way of what she was thinking about, because in the Arab culture, the men work, the women stay home. Now, my parents weren't exactly equals, if I'm being completely honest. My dad he's older than my mom, first off. They're 10 years apart. My mom married him when she was 18. My dad was 28. He had been in the States. He had graduated college. He was here alone, but he immigrated and he accomplished everything, went back home, married my mom. My mom didn't even graduate high school. She got to her senior year and her family saw that, hey, there's a really good man coming and asking for her hand. Let's go ahead and get them married. So, you know, they got married, they're going on 30 plus years. So thankfully it worked out, and obviously it worked out, but it was just different. It was a different time. So, you know, when my parents came here, obviously my mom raised all of us, and it wasn't until I was in about second grade that she actually started to work. She pursued a associate's degree in child development, started working as a preschool teacher. And I remember seeing that as a young girl and seeing how liberated she felt. But in the end of the day, my dad still made more money and my dad was the head of the household. So I could see how that affected her in some ways and how it made her feel unliberated, if that's a word. Kind of took the liberation away from her sometimes, because in the end of the day, she knew that she was not as successful as my dad. And I'm sure that when she was younger, she didn't feel it because, you know, she had her Prince Charming. She had the American man who was giving her everything she wanted. And don't get me wrong, my dad has always been such a great provider for us. But I just was able to see how her personality changed when she started going to school and working and making her own money versus how it was when I was really, really young, you know, before she started working. So with that said, when she said that comment to me, the expectation that she kind of just put on me immediately was like, oh, but you know, you're gonna have, you know, make sure you get someone who's like a little higher than you, because, you know, the master's degree that I do want to pursue is in physician assistant studies. And, you know, that can be a little intimidating for some people, I guess. But it's just, I always wanted to pursue a career in the medical field. So I get where she was coming from. Now, a lot of that comes from the idea of raising a family. And don't get me wrong, I would love to raise a family. And I'm so excited for the day that I do get to, because I personally feel like I was made to be a mother. But it just made me feel like I was put into a container, or my different goals were put into different containers. So I couldn't pursue this degree and have this career and also raise a family and be a successful woman. So the cultural expectations of a woman is like, okay, you know, get your whatever little degree and then get ready for marriage. And trust me, it's just so crazy to think about. When I was a little girl, I was expecting to be married and having kids by like 24, 25. And I'm 24 years old. That's what's a little interesting. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm 24 and I'm not even married yet. So to think back and to realize that when I was a little girl, these cultural expectations and this la-la land of a life was so heavily influenced on me and had me thinking that I was going to have a family and a husband by the age of 24. It's just so insane to me. So when I had that conversation with my mom, I really had to let her know why it upset me, because, you know, I felt like she was immediately just kind of placing me in a category where it's like I wouldn't be able to be more successful than my spouse. And unfortunately, and I don't know if this is going to come to a surprise to some of you, but in a lot of the marriages before, so like in the times where my parents were getting married in the 80s and the 90s, we'll say more, yeah, 80s and 90s, the marriages were basically meant for a husband and wife just to get together and to meet each other and start a family. Where in comparison to now, things are partnerships. And I love that there are more partnerships than one person being more superior than the other, because the superiority and the inferiority aspect of relationship is very hard to see become successful. So that's just one thing that really bothered me. My conversation that I'm having with you guys today kind of seems like it's all over the place, but I think you guys can get the idea of what the cultural expectations of the boys versus the girls is. But I really wanted to give you guys this one scenario that kind of can tie it all together for you. I thankfully have really stood up to my parents and stood up to my family of the woman that I do want to be. And I had the biggest problem with my family growing up in the sense of the fact that I did grow up between four boys and I did see how they were treated. So by the time it got to me, it would have been a little weird to see my dad treat me completely different. So there were things that he was very lenient on, thankfully. And, you know, I didn't see any hypocrisy come out of him in many senses in comparison to a lot of my other friends who let the boys go to prom, but they didn't let the girls go to prom, or they let the boys go on these trips, but they didn't let the girls go on these trips. So it's very different in different families. But just to end on that note, I really do apologize for this episode being so focused on one story and one small topic, but I definitely do hope you guys understood and kind of got the idea of what I was trying to touch on today. But to wrap it up, thank you so much for listening in on Identity Crisis, and I hope to hear from you guys about any of your personal experiences and tune in on episode 4. Thank you.